using a theme for the last couple of weeks called What the Bible Says About This, That, and the Other, and those have been largely political kind of questions or themes, but it being All Saints on Thursday made me think that maybe I should sort of interrupt this just for 1 week, because there's something about the saints that's really precious and that we need to be reminded of it, because the systems we live in, I believe, truly do need the saints. And we as people of God need to be reminded of the power of the saints. And so today I just want to make a distinction too between the way that we use the word saints and, you know, thinking of that word. This morning I was talking about the house that we live in and the saints that we have up on our balcony. And we do. We have those saints up on our balcony. People who have shown us a better way, who have encouraged us with their care and compassion, their unconditional care for us, no matter what. We look up to that balcony and we gain strength from them because we know that they are here with us. The amazing thing is that you're going to be on somebody else's balcony someday. And people are going to need to gain strength from you when they look up there. And as powerful and deep as that sentiment is, there's kind of a difference between those saints that are on each of our balconies, people in our own lives who have shown us a better way, and what I'm going to call the capital S saints, the people who rise to lots of different people's balconies, whether they have met them or not, people who are remembered for having done something bigger and better, having been a different kind of human being. And I think it's important, too, to remember those people and the peculiarity of those people, because they do matter for us. Now, when I'm talking about saints, I'm not talking about the saints that are beatified by a certain church. I'm not talking about those saints, because there are saints that have not ever been beatified or recognized by any particular church, and yet there's still those people who are up on a lot of people's balconies because of the amazing people they've been and the things they've done. I'm talking about how I'm using this idea of in post-Reformation, the post-Reformation theology I grew up in, of people who have really grown as they have walked with God, grown in that relationship with God, and have become sanctified. Those of you who grew up in that tradition know what I'm talking about, right? The process of sanctification. People who have really grown deep and wide in their relationship with the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about today when I talk about the capital S saints. They're people who have fought the good fight. They wage brotherhood and sisterhood on the earth. They wage care. They've waged peace. They believe something that's really important. And I think it's an important word to remember for this political season. The first reason that I think the saints need to hear the world and the systems that we live in need to hear the words of the saints is because the saints believe something very special that we heard of in Ephesians. Paul says, St. Paul says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but our warfare is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. The saints know this. The saints know that we battle not against flesh and blood, but our warfare is with the powers. Now, when Paul wrote that, I'm sure he was thinking of Satan, the big S, right? That word in Hebrew means the enemy. It's the unseen powers that are working against the forces of God's realm and the shalom that God intends in the world. Walter Wink, who passed away this year, one of the people who I think was a dear saint, a capital S saint, a person we should all remember, talked about those powers and principalities as systems, domination systems. They're the domination systems that stand over people to keep them in bondage so that they can't exercise the freedom with which they were created. And we wage war not against flesh and blood. The saints know this, right? The saints are able to look a person who is proclaiming something that they know is capital S satanic, an enemy of the very realm of God, and to love that person and to wage war against that system. And that's something that in our society, and I feel particularly this particularly keenly in the last couple of weeks as we watch television ads, that this society has forgotten, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. My battle is not against Mr. X, Y, or Z or Mrs. X, Y, or Z, who proclaims things that are antithetical to values, genuinely good values. My battle is against the system in which those people operate, and often unknown to them, right? Unknown to them, the system in which they operate that controls the way that they think. That's what we're waging war against, and that's what the saints recognize. They recognize that all people, even people who are trapped within demonic systems that break people and perpetuate human brokenness, those people are still made in the image of God. And they believe that old Jewish saying that there are angels unseen walking in front of every human being saying, make way for the image of God. Make way for the image of God. Even the image of God, those people who carry the image of God, who are dramatically confused in the way that they think about the world, they're still the image of God. And the saints are able to recognize that. This is one of the things that has struck home to me during this election season. All the ads attacking the honor of other people, right? Instead of respectfully engaging in civil conversation with the assumption that we can move forward by identifying common needs and goals and values. So instead of talking about the systems which are wreaking havoc with all of us, we're talking about did so-and-so pay his taxes on time, or has so-and-so skipped X numbers of meetings, or, you know, these things that really don't matter but are attacks on a person's honor. The saints don't do that. The run-of-the-mill person just often forgets that the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. It's against the systems that blind people to the destructiveness of sometimes their own actions. The second reason that society, I think, needs the saints is because the saints, while not fighting against other people, remember what Jesus did up on the cross. The first thing that we hear that Jesus said up on the cross in the Lucan passage, "Go, God, forgive them. They know not what they do." That's what the saints say. While recognizing that the fight is not against people, at the same time, and for the sake of God's world, and in the cause of God's envisioned future for the world, the saints wage relentless war against the powers. The saints do this by naming the powers, the hidden domination systems that are perpetuating brokenness, and by exposing their complicity, and by humbly witnessing to a better way. Let me just break that down for a minute, because I think this is really deep. And this is the main point that I want to make today. The capital S saints, the saints who stand up on a lot of our balconies, they are not pragmatists. They are not realists. And they are not gradualists. Let that sink in for just a minute, because pragmatism is a divine way of living, according to Americans. But the saints are not pragmatists. They are not realists, as their societies would view them. And they are not gradualists. In the personal realm, the saints don't say, pray every once in a while, especially when you're in a jam. No, the saints say, pray without ceasing. Make your life a prayer. St. Paul, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, Hildegard of Bingen, Thomas Merton, those people sound like Jesus. They're not realistic. They're saints. Forgive evildoers. Do they say this? Forgive evildoers as long as they ask forgiveness and grovel at your feet in penitence. Is that what the saints say? No, the saints say, forgive 70 times 7. Distribute your forgiveness generously the way God has forgiven you. St. Stephen, the martyrs of Sebaste, Dirk Williams, Anabaptist radical who was burned at the stake and forgave the people who lit the match. They all sound like Jesus. They were not realists. They were saints. Don't store too much Don't store up too much treasure on earth. Do the saints say this? Don't store up too much treasure on earth. You might want to practice generosity way after you're sure that you've stashed enough away for that retirement dream home. Do the saints say that? No. The saints say, don't store up treasures on earth. Don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or drink, for God in heaven will provide everything you need. The saints are not realists. St. Francis of Assisi, Peter Waldo, St. Benedict, Gandhi, they all sound like Jesus. And moving into the political realm, they don't say, love your friends and tolerate your enemies. They say, love your friends and love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Minnow Simons, Dorothy Day, Martin Luther King Jr., Sister Helen Prejean, they're saints. They're not realists. That's why they're saints. Don't, as a general rule, return evil for evil. Do you hear saints saying that? As a general rule, don't return evil for evil. But hey, in the case of that obnoxious person, a sharp retaliatory email every once in a while wouldn't hurt. No, the saints say, never return evil for evil. Do the saints say, those who live by fewer swords will die by fewer swords? So let's reduce our sword stockpiles down to where we can mutually annihilate each other only once. Do the saints say that? No. The saints say, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. They're not realists. Balthazar Hubmaier, John Woolman, George Fox, Leo Tolstoy, James Covell. They sound like Jesus. If your needy neighbor asks for a cloak, do the saints say, you ought to stop and give him directions to the free cloak store? No, the saints say, if your needy neighbor asks for a cloak, take off your cloak and give it to your neighbor. Albert Schweitzer, Molly Rogers, Mother Teresa, those people are not realists. They sound like Jesus. Let maintenance of our standard of living roll down like waters, and pacification of unrest flow on like an everlasting stream. No. Right? They say, let justice roll down like mighty waters, and righteousness flow down like everlasting streams. And that's why Micah and Amos and Harriet Tubman and Walter Rauschenbusch and Washington Gladden and Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Toyohiko Kagawa and Oscar Romero and Rosa Parks and James Carney and Cesar Chavez and Miles Horton and Clarence Jordan and Chico Mendez sound like Jesus, because they're not realists, they're saints. They're different. The saints are not interested in tidying up the status quo. You know, rearranging the papers and shuffling the boxes of the status quo. They're not interested in making unjust and uncaring, materialistic and self-interested people, or unjust and uncaring and materialistic and self-interested systems a little less unjust and uncaring and a little less materialistic and a little less self-interested. No. The saints are interested in abolishing, obliterating, totally and completely deconstructing any status quo that is anything short of what a loving creator intends for the creation. And that's what makes them saints. They are not pragmatists. Do no harm, love your enemy is not particularly pragmatic when an intruder comes into your home and holds up a gun to your child's head. Saints are not pragmatists. Now, I'm not saying they're never pragmatic, but pragmatic solutions, which are lesser goods, are never considered real solutions to capital S saints, because they won't stand for it. Saints are not realists. Don't worry about what you'll eat tomorrow. God will provide it. It's not particularly realistic. Saints are not gradualists. They don't put up with the norm of brokenness and the inertia of defeatism. They won't stand for it. That's what makes them saints. Saints are saints precisely because they are not pragmatists, or what their peers would call realists, and precisely because they won't put up with gradualism. They're saints because they say these systems, these demonic status quo worldviews, which are keeping us in bondage, these ideologies driven by power and sustained only by means of our unwillingness to resist them, these systems of broken thinking that produce broken relationship, they are encasing us in prisons, they trap us, they bind us, they dehumanize us, they deplete us, And we must, for the sake of God's world and God's people and God's envisioned future, wage relentless war against them by exposing them as a form of idolatry and witnessing to a better vision of what it means to be humans created in God's image. They're saints because they proclaim the good news that God has always proclaimed about all of us, that we are better than this, that we are capable of more than this, but we are not imagining it. You listen to the major candidates in this election, and I have been reminded over and over again that we are in dire need of the saints. There's an awful lot of tidying up of the status quo on both sides. When you think about institutionalized poverty, 42% of children in this country live in or near poverty. 42%. The out-of-control military infrastructure, the stranglehold of business interests on the throats of the world's most vulnerable people. We hear an awful lot of shuffling of papers going on in political discourse, a lot of talk of tidying this up or that, but are we really getting to the root of the problem, the problems that the saints would point to as problems? We need the saints. We need real visionaries who will say, we need to figure out who we are as a species and to understand what we're doing to each other. And to ask the question, what do we as a human species need to be doing now to help create the shalom that God intends for our children's children and for all life that will need to flourish on this planet 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 years from now? Are we even thinking about those questions? We need to ask the big questions like the saints asked them. We need to imagine the answers the saints might give. What if we could live in a world in which there were no military budgets and there were no tanks, no ICBMs, and no AK-47s? Couldn't we do that? A world where we would solve our problems without killing each other? Couldn't we ever get to that place? And I know exactly what people are going to say to that. It's not realistic. You're not being pragmatic. We're going to have to work towards gradual solutions. Because the people who say that are not the saints. One person said to me one time, I was talking about pacifism, and they said, you know, I just can't move to that point of being pacifistic. I don't see how you can run a world without some forms of violence. And I said, I don't want to argue with you about that. I think that there's a difference between better solutions and best solutions. But I just want you to ask me this question. Do you want to live in a world without pacifists? Do you? Do you want to live in a world without Jesus? A world without Gandhi? A world without Oscar Romero or Cesar Chavez? Do you want to live in a world without the saints? Let's pray. Oh God, give us grace to take moments to step out on our lawns and look up on our balconies to see those people from whom we really draw strength and courage, and to give you thanks for their lives of prophetic witness and genuine heartfelt care. Help us too as we think about the fact that we're going to need to stand up on somebody's balcony someday. Help us to provide safe places for people and unconditional care. And help us to grow in our sanctification so that we might be able to ask the big questions that you've invited us to ask. And we ask all this with grateful hearts. Amen.